is there anyone who has issues that they'd like to share with the rest of us as we begin this meeting? I don't see any raised hands going once. All right. Well, then we will go to agenda item 2B, which is meeting minutes approval. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the April 9th and 10th meeting? Commissioner Fairburn.
Also move.
Oh, Commissioner Smith, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. The April 9th and 10th minutes have been approved and seconded. Is everyone who votes to approve the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. We also need to approve the April 24th meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
I'll move again. So move.
Second?
I'll second it.
Kim found her unmute button.
Yes, it's kind of like a Jeopardy game.
It is.
Okay, anyway. It's moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from the April 24th meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, the meeting, those minutes are approved. We are now to item 2C, which is committee reports. We have a few reports. Who would like to go first?
I can go first.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, I'm going to start. I will be reporting on the Wildlife Committee and on the Wolf Committee. I'm going to start with the Wildlife Committee, which met yesterday. Our four members were present. We did have people from the public listening in. I want to acknowledge Deborah Chase's testimony and the request that as we move forward with the first item on our Wildlife Committee agenda, which is a work plan for cougar public safety activities, that's quite extensive. I think this a one-page table of the work plan is part of the agenda. And would encourage you to take a look at it. Acknowledging Ms. Chase's testimony, I think there will be plenty of opportunity. There are lots of activities involved here. There's going to be lots of opportunity for public input, including the commission involvement in the work. There are four different categories of work proposed. The first is outreach. The second is response to the public. The third is science. And the fourth is partnerships. And some of the work is currently underway. Some is just starting and some is for the future. Discussion at the Wildlife Committee made some suggestions for a little bit of expansion of some of the items included. There are a lot of things going on. There's collaboration among programs in the department on this work to improve our response to public safety issues. It's a really encouraging to see the high level of activity that is going on, because as we, the commission, have heard, it's an area of considerable concern. The one thing that came up in this discussion was the committee's interest in a second area that has to do with predators. As we listened to the testimony in Kennewick and a year ago in Spokane, in reference to cougars and public safety, there really was a second concern that was brought up by the public, and that is the impact that predators are having on some of our game species, our big game species. And there is a separate line of work that's going on, particularly in the wildlife program there. And at our next meeting, we've asked for a briefing on that to learn a little bit more about what can be done with predator management in terms of imperiled ungulate herds under our current processes. So that will be an item for our next Wildlife Committee meeting. The second item that was on our agenda was the hunting contests regulation that we've asked the staff to take a look at, and basically we just had a discussion about where we are in the process. A CR 102 will be open soon, and staff is still working on the language. While this is sort of led by the wildlife program, there's probably going to be some enforcement program involvement in it, because as you might recall our discussion, there was concern about unpermitted contests and how the those would be regulated and enforced. So it was mostly an update that we got and not a whole lot of discussion. And I would invite the committee members if they want to add anything.
Anybody want to add anything to Kim's rendition of what we did yesterday? Don't see anything. Nice job, Kim.
Thanks. Okay, so moving on now to the Wolf Committee. There is a document that was added to the agenda that our committee is bringing to the mission and looking for consensus. It is a guidance to staff for moving forward with the SEPA for the post-recovery wolf conservation and management plan. And I'll just remind the commission that there are two big policy processes that are going on right now in regards to wolf and wolf management. This is one, the post-recovery wolf conservation and management plan. The second is the periodic status review, which is a whole separate process. It is also a SEPA. That looks at our wolf listing status. Before I turn back to the conservation and management plan and this guidance, I'll just remind you that right now we're waiting for a contractor to do the population status modeling. That was something that we decided should be done by a neutral party outside of the department. The direction we've given is we want to look at the wolf population status from two perspectives. One is the recovery guidance in the current conservation and management plan, which requires a number of breeding pairs in each of the three wolf conservation management units for a certain period of time. And then the second is to look at wolf population status as it relates to the state law and regulation on endangered species. So we're going to be in the PSR, we're going to be evaluating the listing status in two separate ways. Now moving back to this guidance, as you might recall, we had a long scoping period to kick off the CEPA for the post-recovery conservation and management plan. And this will be the plan applied to wolves once they have been downlisted to recovered. There was a huge response to scoping. Thousands of people, many people from the state, but also people from all over the country, and a few international responses. Staff have done really yeoman's job of going through all of the scoping comments and then organize them into categories. And the categories were selected based on the current conservation and management plan. The committee has gone very intensively through the summary of the scoping comments, and we have identified the concepts that we want to direct staff to include in the next stage of the CEPA, which is the development of alternatives that will be considered for the plan. And those are laid out in this document. I do want to point out that we have identified an overarching guiding principle, and that is that Washington will maintain a sustainable wolf population that will be managed, including lethal removal when deemed necessary. We also had a lot of discussion that, since we're talking here in the future about a recovered population, that it is the guidance that we would like to provide that wolf management will be normalized. It will be managed using current strategies for management, wildlife management, particularly applied to predators. Note that a lot of the scoping comments related to categories such as funding, economic analysis, livestock wolf conflict compensation. Those are outside of an environmental analysis, they will be areas that are included in the plan. So the sideboards that the committee talked about really focus on the areas of environmental analysis, but also we have recommendations for these non-environmental analysis categories that should be considered for the plan. I hope you've all had a chance to take a look at it, and I would invite any of the committee members or commissioners to ask any questions or add anything. As I said, we'd sort of like a consensus nod to provide this to staff as they move forward on the next steps, which is the development of alternatives.
Molly?
That was great, Kim. I would just like to add that, Kim kind of touched on this, that some of the scoping comments were comments such as you're putting the cart before the horse as far as doing a post-recovery plan. We noticed that people are not, you know, we're struggling with the concept that this is a recovered population. And so, yes, we are putting the cart before the horse so that we will be prepared when those roles are switched and it's a recovered population. So that, you know, we kind of had to all get in that mind frame and get back to the fact that this is after wolves are recovered. That's what we were planning for. And so some of the scoping comments were not applicable to the time frame when wolves are recovered. So I just wanted to be really clear about that. It's not that we are disregarding any of those scoping comments. They just were not appropriate for a post-recovery plan.
This is Jim Anderson.
Go ahead, Jim.
I think that was a very good summary. There, one of the things that keep in mind is that there's going to be a lot more work, obviously, over the course of the next year or more at the committee level. And so we anticipate that there'll be more discussions with regard to some of these planks as well to inform ourselves and perhaps to provide additional thoughts to the staff as they are developing alternatives and the like. So there's this is a first cut at it, if you will, and you know, there's it's a framework, but there's a lot to be worked on. So
thank you, Jim. I see Don, your hand is up.
Yes, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. First, let me just say, give my compliments to the Wolf Committee on providing this written guidance at this stage. I think this is an excellent way to get it down into writing. It's appropriate for the committee work to winnow things down, which has been done, but seeing this kind of guidance in writing for those of us in the committee who haven't been involved in that is just a very sound way to proceed, and I want to extend my appreciation to the group and the chair who, I'm not sure who all wrote this up, but I presume the chair had a heavy hand, and it's very clear writing and very easy to understand. I had three questions. Two of them were already explained in the presentation. I do have one remaining question, and I do think it's important for, as Commissioner Thorburn said, for the full commission, because this is such a step forward to settle things to see if moving forward in this direction is the guidance of the full commission, is an important thing, and if there are any objections that folks ought to say so. Research, one of the winnowing things up high in the written material said that there would be a dedicated research agenda that would not be an alternative, but later there is a research plank to be included, and I wondered if you could distinguish a little bit between that.
Sure, I can start, and then if others on the committee want to add. We didn't feel it kind of relates to that guidance that wolf management be normalized, and consequently, we wouldn't be out with a whole we're going to learn everything we can about wolves in Washington agenda. However, clearly there are things that will be important to wolf management moving forward. We recognize that wolf management in the recovered world will have to be adaptive management. So things like population monitoring. As you know, currently our population monitoring involves an absolute count of you must see the wolf. They fly in the winter, and it's pretty costly, both money-wise and resource-intensive way of getting a population count. So we may want to look at other kinds of population monitoring. We may want to do research on that to provide for adaptive management. So there, it's acknowledging that there will be pieces of or studies that need to be done. Also, we want to encourage that we use the good science that's developed about wolves, not only in Washington, but elsewhere. So that would be sort of under research. So that's the distinction is we won't devote a large amount of science resources to wolves alone, but do science that's needed. Does anybody want to try to be a little bit clearer than I am?
This is Jim Anderson. I think that's pretty clear. The one perspective I had on this is that we didn't want to be so prescriptive in some ways that we might be driven to do X when we really needed to be doing Y. So some of this, will be a framework and context, but not necessarily detailed study designs, if you will, about things that we might think we need right now, but we find out we really need something else, and we would be kind of perhaps caught up in the in what we had written rather than what we need.
I would also add that that's great, Jim. That's almost exactly what I was going to say as well. And additionally, this is a head nod to the fact that we don't know when recovery is going to take place. I mean, this could be years out. And so we don't currently know what we're going to know then, right? So we need to keep it, as Jim said, less prescriptive so that we can be nimble within the plan if the landscape has changed in any way, if the science has changed in any way, or if the social tolerance has changed in any way, so that we don't want to be so prescriptive that then we cannot respond to the current state of things when recovery actually happens.
Well, given Madam Chair, given those explanations, as one commissioner anyway, I would certainly endorse this written guidance. I think it's an important document that we can go back to. And when I get questions from people as to where we're at on this, there's a lot of utility to this in addition to opening the gate to where we go from here now. So from my perspective, proceeding without objection is where I'm at.
Well, this is Barbara. It's kind of an unwritten rule that the person chairing the committee doesn't comment too much, but I do want to add my comments to this committee report. I share the opinion of the other commissioners that Commissioner Thurburn has done a very good job on this, on preparing and working through this guidance to the commission. And I also share Commissioner McIsaac's, it sounds like it's unanimous opinion that we hope that the commission gives the nod to this document. That is more interesting because the four of us on the committee have very different views on wolves and wolf management, and yet we are able to come as a result of several very long meetings to an agreement of what the scoping parameters should be. I have two specific comments on that. One is that I was one of those people that I think Molly was talking about who thought and still believe this to be a premature process. But in going through it, I still support the process occurring for the reason that we received in excess of 7,000 comments on this proposed plan. My guess, I didn't read them all. I did read extensive summaries. And my guess is over half those comments really had no bearing on what a post-recovery plan would look like. But in fact, what they do is they inform the process of recovering wolves in this state. And for that reason alone, I think this is extremely valuable. We didn't
I want to, this is a minor correction, Kim, and please respond if you think I'm wrong, but we didn't direct what should be included in the SEPA analysis, which is what I think I heard Kim said. Our exercise was to go through these comments and the word sideboards has been used and make a recommendation regarding what perhaps should not be included in a final plan. So the committees can't direct anything. This is a recommendation. It's a unanimous recommendation. There were a few things that were for either legal or substance reasons. We said, no, I don't think so. And I am in full agreement with the guidance that actually Kim drafted and did a pretty amazing job coming up with a document that the four of us agree on.
This is Commissioner Grayville.
Go ahead, Dave.
Barbara, I particularly appreciate the comments that you made that there were divergent opinions on the approach to this. That's how a committee functions. And I really appreciate the fact that you were able to agree on the content of the document coming from different positions. That's really important to me that different sides of the challenge were addressed and the document is something that you all came to agreement on. That process I really appreciate. Thank you very much for doing that. This is not easy. I know this is a tough one. Thank you very much for the really important work the committee's doing on this issue.
Barbara, Commissioner Smith.
Go ahead, Brad.
I'll second Dave's well-stated pros there. It's this is how the process should work, and it is working. So I support the recommendations put forth by the committee and thank all who participated in drafting a document, as Commissioner McIsaac said, is very readable.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Commissioner Keough.
Yes, too. I just want to, again, acknowledge the committee and for their hard work. And it is a very good document. I fully support it. I think it's important to know, and I appreciate the discussion also, amongst the committee members as far as just making it clear that, you know, we are not yet have achieved recovery yet. I think we're on the way, and that this process is kind of parallel to the ongoing work outlined in the current management plan to achieve recovery. This does not take away this exercise from what's currently going on, and I think that's very important to me, and I assume very important to members of the public. So, thanks, and I support the scoping document.
So, is there any further comment? Let's see. I see Commissioner Anderson's hand.
Yes, it regards something Kim mentioned regarding the periodic status reviews. So I don't know if we need, are we looking to take any kind of action here at the commission level? Because my question is probably not germane to that.
This is one of those spots where what I believe that we should do is ask if there is any objection from anyone on the commission for this guidance to go into place, with the understanding that this guidance is only a tiny step in a very long process in which we will all be briefed thoroughly and be able to take more official votes in the future with adequate public comment. So let's just stop here and say, does anybody have any objection to the recommendations of the Wolf Committee? Okay, well, we are going to go forth with that as commission guidance and then go back to Commissioner Anderson for your comment on, I believe, the PSR.
Yes, so the PSR, you know, I think is a very valuable piece of business, and I think it will help us as we struggle or sort through the where we're at on the entire delisting question, because that's going to provide the science and the conservation analysis that we really need. I guess, Kim, you mentioned the, I thought you mentioned that the PSR was a SEPA process as well. Is that the case? It's actually a SEPA process, or is it just a contractual study and then incorporated into a SEPA process?
It's both. All of our periodic status reviews, because it does lead to the status decision, are SEPAs, whether it's the Mazama gopher or wolves. That process is underway, and part of what goes into the document is the science review of the current status of whatever species it is. So the SEPA has been, the process itself has been open, and parallel timing, we're waiting on the science review, the modeling that will be done with the contractor.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Is there anything further on the Wolf Committee that we need to talk about, Kim? She muted herself.
Yeah, I muted myself. I shook my head no.
Okay. Is somebody prepared to comment on the Fish Committee meeting yesterday? Commissioner McIsaac.
Yes, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I'll give the Fish Committee report from yesterday's webinar meeting. Chair Carpenter was not, Chairman of the Fish Committee was not able to attend due to the family emergency that's been alluded to. Commissioner Kehoe ably picked up the gavel, and Commissioner Graybill and myself were present for a quorum. Commissioner Anderson and Thorburn were involved in listening and participating in the webinar. Legal counsel Joe Panesco was present. Our executive assistant Nikki Klupfer was present. There was quite a few staff involved, including Craig Burley, Tom McBride, Kyle Maddox, Kelly Cunningham, Ron Warren, Steve Caramile, Kirk Hughes, and Director Susewind. According to my notes, there may have been a few more. There were at least two public members involved in the webinar as well, but I don't know if I have a very good count on that. As was alluded to earlier by Commissioner Kehoe, the North of Falcon and Puget Sound Chinook RMP agenda items were not taken up and postponed to a later time, perhaps next week, yet to be determined. I would note that there is a PowerPoint presentation on the North of Falcon situation that is on the website for commissioners to have a look at if they haven't already, and for the public to look at prior to the webinar, and that the matter that Puget Sound Chinook RMP, that people should anticipate that there is some news that will be forthcoming when that agenda item comes up. The last that the commission has heard about this was that we had endorsed the 10-year plan to go forward, and that was back in either January or February. And there's been a technical snag, and we're going to hear more about it, but it looks like it's not going to be submitted this year, or maybe even there may be one or two more years that we operate without the 10-year plan. And if this is all true, then there is a nexus to a lot of the public comment that we have received in writing and have also heard earlier. So maybe that's just a little teaser for the folks. When we got to the main agenda then, which was limited to one agenda item, and that was the non-native game fish and fishery policy business that came about from the blue sheet that Commissioner Thorburn put together. I think referring to our commission meeting in Bellingham, if I recall right. Mr. Burley went through a very detailed, he went through the blue sheet, first of all, which did receive a lot of compliments from the Fish Committee in terms of the clarity that writing was big and launched to the issue and was easily understood. In answer to a question about the legislative perception of what the commission did in December, the question went to Mr. McBride about whether there was any sort of a legislative backlash that the commission did not thread the needle, was one of the phrases that developed. Was there disappointment in the legislature that either the commission went too far or did not go far enough? His response included the fact that there were two members that were in favor of a bill that ended up failing to create a legislative advisory body, but in general there was not any serious second guessing of the commission's decision as an erroneous one. So I consider that good news. The staff did a very nice job of putting together detailed schedule draft for the committee to review. And this proposal, as I said, had a lot of detail in it and it was just excellent to work from. The only action of the committee in terms of adding to that and endorsing it in general was to, for clarity, indicate that the purpose of this whole endeavor go back to what is described in the blue sheet and what is on the commission record at the meeting. That was not in the schedule, but it might be important for that to be described to the public. The staff also is proposing an advisory body, so that's consistent with the failed bill's intent, perhaps. That was a good thing to see. The second matter that might be the committee adding to what the staff has is that it doesn't come before the full commission for quite some time. And there are three or four points where the Fish Committee might make decisions or many decisions on turning left or turning right or going straight on various alternatives. And so there was discussion about that it being key that the Fish Committee report this to the full commission, maybe in a similar manner that we just heard for the Wolf Commission. And that's what my notes here show, and I ask if Commissioner Teagle or Graybill have anything to add.
So, John, you did a very good job. That's why I asked you to do it. So, thank you.
Excellent, Don. Thank you.
All right. Well, then we will move from the Fish Committee. I'm going to give a short report on the Big Tent Committee. We had two things on our agenda yesterday. One is an update on the strategic plan, and one was a briefing on our external communications. This is the fifth update we've had on the strategic plan, so it is not a subject that is unknown to us. We did review a draft version of the plan, and we had a sort of an option about whether we have a normal PowerPoint presentation by the staff and then us giving abbreviated comments at the end, or the option that we ended up choosing, and I was very happy about that, was that we just had a roundtable discussion about this extremely important document. The highlights are, you've heard before and will hear again, that the document is taking a novel approach at strategic planning. We are looking at what we need to change in order to have sustainable fish and wildlife on the landscape in 25 years for everyone in our state, including anglers and hunters, but also including bird watchers, all the groups that we identify as we talk about non-traditional users, to enjoy. And so it's in many ways, it's a gap analysis. It's what do we need to do different? Because as all the people on the commission know, we spend many, many hours looking at charts where the line's going down. And sometimes it's going down precipitously. And I think there is a recognition that we need to do things differently
to ensure that we are even in existence in 25 years. So we had a presentation on the plan. There were a few comments, but I think everyone supports the plan, and it was it was a massive amount of work. We went through the process of getting here. It has been possibly historic, at least in fish and wildlife strategic planning, the amount of outreach that has gone on both externally and internally to get the thing to where it is now. We all appreciated that. There was wonderful comments on it. The two concerns were that it's way too long. Staff agreed with that, and needs an editor's, not just pencil, but maybe knife. It's long. There will be various versions of it as we go through for different audiences, but it also needs to sharpen up its performance measures so that we have benchmarks for which we can gauge success both in the short and long term. That is also something that has been acknowledged for a while. It's basically a phase two of this document, but it is a very urgent and kind of soon to be done process. And then there was concern about that we need to communicate what this is really well so that we don't somehow make our traditional stakeholders feel that this isn't, that they aren't included in this. And so we discussed that quite a while. That conversation sort of digressed or changed into a conversation about whether we need a commission policy on the principles by which we conduct ourselves. And the end of that was that we had that discussion on the Big Tent Committee agenda a couple of meetings ago and decided to postpone it because we couldn't do, these are both pretty big lists, and we wanted to focus on strategic planning. So we will be having that discussion, but it should be said that we do have an agency policy on conservation. The best thing I thought about the discussion about the principles, somebody said something, I think it was Jeff Davis, but it might, I don't know who it was, but the question, the point was raised that we don't necessarily need to have to adopt formally the North America model or the principles of wildlife governance. But if we do come up with governance principles, they should be Washington governance principles that we all consider and agree on. So there's no reason why the state, should we decide that we need them in a commission policy, can't come up with our own principles of governance. And then finally, what we did is we had a briefing from Carrie McCausland on our external communications. You'll remember Carrie is fairly new to the agency. She has done a brilliant job of working on the new website and but upping our communications game, and especially in social media. She had lots of charts and graphs for us to show that many, many, many more people are tuning into the website and working and making comments on social media, and that this awful virus might have something to do with that, because not all the comments have been uniformly favorable, and I think that's an understatement. But people are they do have a forum by which they can make their comments to us on our Facebook page. There is somebody in Carrie's shop that is answering almost every one of those comments, regardless of their favorable or unfavorable, in a routinely polite way, really just trying to get the information out there, not being defensive. So that was what we did in Big Tent yesterday. We will have the strategic plan in its entirety before the commission for each of our next two commission meetings, and public comment going along with those briefings. So we are not We're not trying to do this quickly. It will be, I believe, submitted to the public soon. And that's about what I have to say about the Wildlife Committee, I mean, the Big Tent Committee meeting. Does anybody have anything they want to add? I see Commissioner Anderson's hand up.
I get unmuted here. Thank you. This goes back to the strategic planning element of the report. And I think I'm trying to make a link here over into the director's report as well. But my, you mentioned that strategic planning is not, you know, all things. It's kind of a forward-leaning gap analysis kind of strategy. And then you also mentioned the tension, and I'm not trying to make too much of this, but the traditional versus maybe a more expansive constituency. And I'm trying to understand the role that strategic planning might have with regard to budget discussions going forward in the COVID-19 era here. And while I know the strategic plan is not completed yet, so therefore it's not fully a document, and I know that, you know, there will be a weighing of different factors. I'm trying to understand how a strategic plan that picks up just elements of what we do will guide or might guide budget and personnel decisions in the department. So again, it's kind of a link between what we're talking about now and what we know is coming down the pike and we'll probably even hear about in the director's report.
Given that the director's report is next, I think I'd just like to comment that initially we were trying to get the strategic plan set in place in time to have some influence on our budget request to the legislature this year. The slowdown that we've experienced means that that's not going to happen. I think the director will also mention that we're likely to be in a cut scenario rather than the inverse. So if you don't mind, Jim, can we just go to Kelly and okay. Anything else on any of the committee reports?